Okay. So in the first pasuk, it says that Avram is Yoshev. He's Yoshev Pesach Olam. He's sitting by the tent. What's this? What is Yoshev? What is Yoshev? So Rashi says that Yoshev is written without the vav, as if it says Yoshav, that he sat. So Chaser, it's written without the vav. So what does that mean? So Rashi says it means that Avram wanted to stand and then he sat, like past tense. He wanted to stand and then he sat. He wanted to stand out of respect for the Shekhinah. Hashem came to visit him. Then he sat down. Why did he sit down? Hashem told him to sit. Why? Shave. When you're in a Beis Din, Chazal tell us that in a Beis Din, the Shekhinah is there. When you go to a regular Beis Din, the witnesses stand and the judges sit, and Hashem, in a sense, comes to, he's there. He's there when you're sitting in a Beis Din. So Hashem here is saying to Avram, listen, what's going to happen now is you want to stand in my honor, but right now we have like a mini Beis Din going on. And just like in a Beis Din, the Dayanim sit and I'm there over them, you should sit. Okay. So where's the Beis Din here? Where's the Beis Din? But what's the Beis Din? Who's being judged here? So when I was in high school, my Rebbe said over, and I think others say this also, the judgment was Sodom is being judged. Sodom was this horrible city, full of Rishayim, and they were against Hakadosh Baruch Hu, and they were against Chesed. So when a person doesn't do Chesed, and a person never opens his home, so yeah, he has an excuse. I don't have the money. I don't have the time. There's no way I can succeed with everything I want to do with my life if I'm a big Baal Chesed. That's the claim. There's no way you can, sort of make it. So who, in a sense, proves Sodom is wrong? Who proves Sodom wrong? Avram Avinu. Avram's whole life was Kol Kulo Chesed. And he was wealthy. He was successful. So Avram's existence, in a sense, is a deep shot, is part of the judgment of Stone. When Stone would say, oh, it's impossible, it can't be, it can be. Avram can do it. And in that sense, Avram was judging Stone, because the fact that he existed and he was very successful out there in the world, despite also being such a Baal Chesed, have his home always open, in that sense, there was a judgment going on. The Gemara says this. It's a scary Gemara. The Gemara says a person is very wealthy. He has a lot of big business things. He feels he has no time to learn. So the Gemara says Rabbi Yehuda Nasi was very wealthy, and he learned. So then a person who is wealthy can also learn. And then the Gemara says some people are very poor. They're always running around. They can't make it. It's impossible. He has no time to learn. The Gemara says Hillel was very poor and he was able to learn. So we have to really do the best we can, each person in his own circumstances, to really succeed in the best way. So Avram Avinu, in a sense, was like judging, part of the judgment of Stone. It's a very very powerful, and that's why, and very very powerful idea. Okay, next, Pasuk Dalet. So Avram tells these malachim, he tells these visitors to wash their feet. He says, V'rachatu ragleichem. So Rashi says, he thought they were Arabs, and back then the Arabs did avodah zarah. So he thought that, they had dust on their feet. He didn't want the dust of avodah zarah coming into his house. So wash your feet first. If they have any connections with avodah zarah, wash your feet first. And Lot, also had them wash their feet, but it was after they entered the house. Belina v'rachatu raglicham. So Lot, Chazal say, learned from Avram, had to go chasas orchim, but he had his priorities a little off. the Avodah Zarah wasn't so important. And so this is an important idea that Rashi is teaching us, that it's good to be a Baal Chesed, and it's good to be a Baal Chesed. You have to also keep your priorities straight. And Avram knew Baal Chesed is great, but I don't want Avodah Zarah in my house. And Lot also did a Chesed, but the Avodah Zarah came in first, and then he had them wash their feet. So we discussed a few times during the year, ready priorities. You have to make a hierarchy, and clearly, you don't want Avodah Zarah around your house, despite the fact that Chas Arachim is such a great thing. So that's an important Rashi. The difference between Avraham and Lot. Pasuk Zion. So here, Rashi says something a couple of times, and it's about Yishmael. So the Malachim come, and Avram runs to do to get the bucker, and then he says, he gives it to the Nar, to Yishmael. Rashi says, L'chancho b'mitzvos. In other words, Avram was training Yishmael also in Hachnasas Orachim. So we discuss this many times. Kids tend to imitate their parents. We want our kids to be solid, B'zat Hashem, so we've got to be solid ourselves. It's around 15 years ago. My 6-year-old son picked up one of these 2-liter water bottles, and he was drinking it, like a Coke or water. Let's say water. I think it was Coke, but don't tell Rav Yoel, or Rav Yoel won't like the Coke thing. Let's say it's water. Picks it up, and he's spilling everywhere. He's a little kid. He can't do it. It's too big for him. And I said, Chaim, what are you doing? He said, Abba, you drink that way sometimes. So it's not the most refined way to drink from a big, big water bottle. So he's right. So since then, I stopped doing it, at least when he's watching. At least when the kids are watching. But that's an example. If you drink from a big water bottle like that, so it's not the most refined way to drink. So he picked it up for me, and then he's gonna copy. So you want your kids to do good things, you want your kids to do chesed, then you do chesed. I told you, we want our kids to be involved in taking Torah seriously, so we have to take Torah seriously. And I mentioned my brother and the Beis Medrash thing in his living room. So that's this Rashi, that Yishmael was very well trained in Chesed Sarachim, because he got it from Avram. His father's running here, running there, and he got him involved. In my neighborhood, there's a family that, like, the parents are just kol kuo chesed people. Whenever there's a chesed to do in the neighborhood, to run a project, you know, like you have the Tisha B'Av videos that, it's a big thing now, that in every community, or many communities, there's a Tisha B'Av video that people say it's all over America, it's in Israel. So who are the guys, like, set it up and bring the screens? It's always this family. It's been that way for in my 20 years. So you see his kids are all chesed people, because it's all in the family. They're always running around doing chesed. So yeah, what happens at home? So then this is, okay. Good. So that's that. So that's that Rashi. Next. Next, this is a world famous, well, not world famous. This Rashi was made famous by Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz. Rav Chaim Shmuel Levitz, that's all, was Rosh Yeshiva in Mir for many years. Big Lamdin, Gemara person. He also gave Musar Shmuzin, and he's more famous for his Musar Shmuzin, because there was a time where, like, that was the main Musar, Sichos Musar, it's called Sichos Musar. They have it in English, they're very good. What? Yeah, no, get him in English. No, his Sichos Musar, we get to have him in English now. It's worth it, get him in English, they're worthwhile. Sichos Musar, you should have him in English. So it says here as follows. So look, this is an important idea for Shalom Bayis. It's in Pasuk Tes. So in Pasuk Tes, the Malachim come to Avram and they say, "Vayomer Elav, Ayesa Raishdecha, where is Sarah?" So where was Sarah? What does Rashi say? Where was Sarah? She was inside, in the tent. Why was she in the tent? She was Sanua. She was in the tent. His job was to be out there, and her job was to get ready, prepare the house, prepare the food. That was her. her job. She was Sanua. Okay. Now, they knew where she was. They were Malachim. They knew where she was. They knew it. They were the Malachim. They knew where she was. So why did they ask? Look in Rashi. Yodim Haya Pasuk Tes Malachi Ashari Sarah Menu Hechana. They knew where Sarah was. Ella Lehodia Shet Sanua Haisa. They wanted to make it known that she was Sanua. Kedei Lechabiva Al Baila. To make her more endearing to her husband. They were trying to generate more love between Abraham and Sarah, and therefore they asked the question. It's like this. Let's say I know my wife's a good person. Okay, I know she's wonderful. When opportunity comes up in my life to praise her to somebody else, whoa, I feel even better. My wife's amazing. You guys see what she does? So when Avram said the words, she's in the Kent, so he's declaring, my wife's Sanua, my wife's wonderful. So when the Malachim, watch this, when the Malachim orchestrated the events to have Avram say that phrase, their goal was to generate more love between Avram and Sarah. That's what the Sichos Musar says. So I heard Rav Neuberger Schlitter from, he's Rebbe in YU, he has a big show in Teaneck, Bergenfield. It used to be a small show. When I was in Teaneck, it was a small show. Now it's a big show. So he said as follows. How old is Avram when this is happening? How old is he when this is happening? He's 99. And how old is Sarah? 89. Now, we're not sure when they got married, but we're guessing 40, 50 years. It doesn't say when they got married. How old are they when they got married? So you're married 40 or 50 years. So you'd figure, either you're in love or you're not. You're married 40, 50 years. And despite being married so long, the Malachim went out of their way to do something to help generate more Shalom Bayis. So this Rashi teaches us the importance of Shalom Bayis, that you're always supposed to do things to generate, it's something you have to focus on. It's very easy in life to sort of let life take over, and you do what you have to do, and you don't focus on always trying to build your relationship with your spouse even more. So here we see the Malachim had a chance. They had a pretty good marriage. The way of Neuberger said it was, if they're not in love yet, it's not happening. They married 45 years. Yeah, they obviously had a very good marriage, and still, the Malachim said, you know what, let's do something to generate even more, that Avram should love Sarah even more. So they did this little trick and asked him a question to get him to give the answer. That's the Sichos Musar, and that's Rav Neuberger. The Rav of my shul, you guys met him on Shabbos. He once gave Shalom Bayis Shirim in our shul, and that was how he started with this Rashi. That it's a focus, and that's what we talk about it sometimes on Thursday. It's a focus to do things to generate more love between you and your wife. And we'll discuss... We'll discuss different ideas about that. Okay. Next. Okay. I mean, this is a very, very long parsha here. Okay. One second. Okay, here there's a vort. One second. Okay. Pasuk Tezayin, there is a Shalshalas. You know what a Shalshalas is? Shalshalas A is, what is Shalshalas? It's the name of whose group? Simchas Osman. Simchas Osman was Shabbos, right? So that's the connection. So everything's Hashgacha. This could be next Friday night's Kiddush thing. We mentioned the Hashgacha. So what's a shalshalas? It goes. It's a very long note. A very long note. So it's in Perik Yotes Pasuk Tezayin. Perik Yotes Pasuk Tezayin. So this fits. This fits with my Brat Torah from Shabbos from Rav Katz Shlita about Lot. Look in the pasuk. Vayis Mama Shalshalas. That means he delayed. Who delayed? Lot delayed leaving Sdom, meaning Sdom was being destroyed. He's about to be saved, and he's not rushing to leave. Why not? Look in Rashi. Kedei lahatzel es mamono. Lot is nervous about losing all his money. So Lot has emunah. He believes the malachim. He sees it happening. And still, what's he doing? He's delaying because of his money. That's one example. Keep on going. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Pasuk Yud Zayin. Himolid on Avshecha. Save your life. Rashi says, "Da'yechal hatzel nefashos al tachos al hamamon." Don't worry about the money. So what do you see in these two Rashis? What was Lot's main focus? His money. That's what we discussed. That's what we discussed on Shabbos. This was Lot's main thing. Lot is a tragic figure. Lot begins his career so close to Avraham. He's amazing. He's a big tzaddik when his career begins. And by the end of his career, he loses everything and he's remembered for horrible things. What happened to Lot? Lot made the mistake that he was so concerned about his money, he left. What did he leave? No. What did he leave? He left his ruchniyah space. We discussed this. When you go to college, and you get out to make a good parnasa, you've got to stay connected to the Torah. Lot's the example of someone who goes up making money the wrong way. Lot chooses to go to Sdom. He knows that in Sdom he's going to lose his connection to Avraham Avinu, and that leads to his downfall.
Avraham Avinu was Rukhni, but he got money anyway.
Very good. That's correct. Good. That's correct. So when you guys leave here and you go back to YU, you go back to Landers, the challenge of life is, or something like that, the challenge of life is that when you go to college, you stay connected to the Beis Medrash and you're learning in the morning, you try to also learn at night. Lot went to Sdom, and he gave up his connection to Avram, and then he fell apart. It's a very important issue. So this is Lot. Literally, Lot's all focused on his money. You got. What does Ravina say? What does Ravina say about college?
So
one thing Ravina says is we don't hate you. Don't go to kollel. Correct. What else does he say? Don't be a loser like your Rebbe. Right. He's joking. And Ravina also says it's a mitzvah to go to college. That's that's how you make a panasa nowadays. But when you go to college, you've got to do it the right way. And Lot is the example of the wrong way. That's Rav Katz gave this shiur many years ago in the yeshiva. It's just from Chumash and Rashi. Lot becomes the example of running after money and losing your whole connection to ruchnius, and that's a problem. You're supposed to go to college, make a parnasa, but it's got to be done in the right way. And Lot's the example of the wrong way. Okay, these Rashi's fit with what we said on Shabbos. Even at the last minute, Lot's worried about his money. Okay. And finally, by the Akedah. I mean, there's a lot to do about the Akedah, obviously. But I just want to say one idea from Avnevensol, and then we'll stop. So look here. How is the Akedah introduced? So here it goes as follows. Look here. Okay. So the Akedah, look in Perikah Beis Pasuk Aleph. Again, Perikah Beis Pasuk Aleph. Sorry guys, my throat's a little off because a lot of singing in Shabbaton, and there's a lot of cheering last time when I came in the house after winning a lineup and whatever. Okay, anyway. Okay, here. It says, V'yachard v'yim e'eva. After these things that happened, Hashem tested Avraham Avinu. So obviously there's a connection between the first pasuk of the Akedah and the previous parak, right? In other words, on Pashup Shat, there has to be a connection. Rashi quotes Pshatim from the Medrash. But when you read the Pshat of the Chumash, there has to be some connection between the beginning of the Akedah and the end of the previous parak. So what's the connection? So Avnevensol says a beautiful idea in his Svarim. And it's based on a Medrash, and it's based on the Vilna Gaon's explanation of the Medrash, and it's a beautiful idea. There's a Medrash that says that when Avram was on the way to the Akedah, the Satan came to Avram, and he said, "Don't do it, don't do the Akedah." "Why not?" The Satan said, "What about all those people? What about all those people?" And Avram said, "I don't care, I'm doing it anyway." That's the medrash. What about all those people? So it's an unclear medrash. So the Vilna Gaon explains the medrash, and the more recent Achronim explain the Vilna Gaon. I have this in. I can show it to you later, but Dr. Shem, where it is in Ramazal's writings. It goes as follows. How did Avram spend his day? How old is Avram at the Akedah? At the Akedah, how old was Avram? According to Chazal. Avram at the Akedah.
137.
According to Chazal, he was 137 years old at the Akedah. That's how Chazal worked out. How old was Avram when he fully recognized Hashem, according to the Rambam? What? 40. 3 or 40. The Rambam says 40. And some say 3. So the simple shot is that at 3 he had some sort of not so fully worked out explanation of understanding of Hashem. And by 40 he had a full Havana. He really knew what he was. He understood Hashem very well. So what did Avraham do in his 9 to 5 job for 97 years? Correct. We discussed something, guys. If you want to be a Talmud Chacham, what do you have to do to be a Talmud Chacham? What do Rabbi Sacks? We have to be a Talmud Chacham. You have to sit a lot and learn a lot. So Sammy sits a lot and learns a lot. Okay, Baruch Hashem. So Avram was 40 until one. So for 97 years, he's doing Kiruv. What's his Kiruv for? Kiruv to what? To Judaism? To monotheism, correct. Avram Avinu is spreading monotheism, belief in the one correct God. The Rambam describes how he would do this. He would go from town to town, city to city, and okay, that's a home run question, which I don't have a good answer for. People have discussed that question. The Rambam says that Avraham had thousands and tens of thousands of followers, and it's a little unclear what happened to them. It's unclear what happened to them. And they fell off because we lost track of them. When I taught in America many years ago, one teacher quoted that all of the modern day Gerim are descendants of those people. In other words, there's a spark somewhere. That's a beautiful idea. That the spark from Abraham, even though they ended up falling away somewhere, that spark again. So that's a discussion. We have to do research on that. Let's write a paper on that. There's got to be discussion about that. Tens of thousands of people. How did he spread monotheism? So the Rambam says he would have debates. He'd come to a town. He'd say, I have a debate, and he says, my name is Avraham Avinu. I believe in one God. What do you believe in? Oh, I believe in God, different gods. What does your God tell you to do? Oh, my God tells me that if somebody dies in the family, to rip your hair out and scratch your head and cause yourself to bleed. He says, that's terrible. That's a horrible God. It's barbaric. My God's a God of mercy. He tells people to do chesed and to help and to love others. What else is your God? Oh, our God says that you should sacrifice your children for God. Sacrifice children for God? Are you insane? That's the worst barbarianism. Whatever. That's totally barbaric. Whoa. That's horrible. Our God, my God, is a God of mercy. And he tells you to train your kids to do good things and chesed and good things. And he won all these debates. So imagine what would have happened the day after the Akedah. Imagine what would have happened the day after the Akedah. What would the what would have been the front page on the Mesopotamian Times? Mesopotamia was a place. What would be the front page? Let's say he did it. Let's say had he done the Akedah. Avraham Avinu overnight what would have happened to Avraham? What would he become overnight? The ultimate what? Hypocrite of all time. 97 years, tens of thousands, and he did it himself. People think he's insane. The ultimate hypocrite of all time. Mesopotamian Times. Avraham Avinu, murder his only son. Why? God told me so. The Mesopotamian Post would have had like a picture or whatever. Okay, that's a different that's a joke for New York, whatever, okay, they're a little more, they have a different style. That's the pshat of the Medrash. The Satan was saying, Abraham, if you kill Yitzchak, it's going to be a chul Hashem, because you're going to lose thousands and thousands of your monotheistic followers. All of these people that believe in God, they're going to say, this guy is insane, this guy is a nut. I'm following this guy, he killed his son. The exact thing that for 90 years you told everyone not to do, you did it yourself. This guy's insane, we're getting out of here. So the Satan, when he tried to stop Abraham, his last attempt was to go for the Chil Hashem aspect. You're going to lose all these religious people. And Abraham said, what can I do? God told me to do it, I have to do it. I have to do it anyway. So Avram Avinu at the Akedah was not, Rabbi Nevetal says this, he was not only sacrificing his entire future, killing Yitzchak, he was also sacrificing his entire past. 97 years of work of spreading Hashem's name. It's a very powerful idea. Oh, that's the Gra, that's the Medrash. So if Nevin says, that's the Pashat Pshat, what's mentioned at the end of the previous parak? Look at the end of the previous parak. This is beautiful stuff. This is Rav Nevin Saul's Chiddush. Rav Nevin Saul says beautiful Chiddushim in Pshat based on the Medrash. That's like his thing. You read Rav Nevin Saul's writings. He works with Chazal all the time, and he develops Chiddushim in Pshat based on Chazal. Look at the end of the previous parak. Vayita Eshel Bever Sheva. The end of the previous parak was Avraham's Eshel, his tree, his inn in Be'er Sheva. What happened? So some say it was a tree, some say it was an inn, the Eshel. What did Avraham do with this tree? Or at this inn? What did he do with this inn? That's not what Rashi says. Oh, Mishtama he davened there, but that's not what Rashi emphasizes. What did he do with this tree? I guess you guys, you didn't do Chumash Rashi yet. It's only Sunday. What did he do? Well, he did Kiruv. Look in Rashi. In Perek Yud Kaf Aleph Pasuk Lamed Gimel, he gave them food, and he'd say after you ate, he'd say to them, "Bless the one who gave you the food," and they would say, and he would say, "You gave it was me? It wasn't. It was from God. It was from Hashem." So Avram Avinu used his tree. He used his inn to spread Hashem's name. So Rav Nevetzal says that's the pshat in the Hemshech Hapsukim. Right after the Chumash emphasizes that Avram's doing kiruv to what? Kiruv to monotheism. The next pasuk says the Akedah, because that's exactly why the Akedah was so difficult. The main reason why is because he was killing Yitzchak. That's the main reason, and all of his promises, all of his future. The main nisyon of the Akedah was killing your son and destroying your whole future. But on top of that nisayon, there was also the nisayon of the Chil Hashem, that he'd lose all of his thousands of followers, 100 years of work. So the Torah subtly hints to that. So Rav Nevin, this is a nice idea. Rav Nevin Saul says the Torah hints to that pshat of the Gra and the Medrash by saying achar, that the Akedah is right after it says he builds the, he has the inn, he has the tree, he spreads Hashem's name. The next pasuk says that the Akedah starts. But this is a very powerful idea.